Psalm was bad.
21.
Excuse me, 21?
Does everyone hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, okay, you ready to hear me?
Yes.
Ready.
Okay. So let's put it on mute. Okay, I'm going to start now. First of all, I want to welcome everyone, and I hope everyone had a meaningful Seder this year, being alone at home. For us, it was different. You know, for us, usually the first Seder we do in the Chabad house, we have, let's say, 100 people. And this year, the Seder was with our family, 8 people, 9 people. But it was special, it was unique. We made it the most opportune to greatness. And we had an incident that happened on the second night of Passover. A very strange story. We weren't expecting it. But at around close to 1 a.m., the second night of Passover, Thursday evening, we went to open up the door for Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu HaNavi. And all of a sudden, I hear screaming and yelling. And I couldn't understand what happened. And my wife went with some of the kids, and I sat by the table. And she got so scared that she dropped everything she was holding. She just dropped it. And what happened was my daughter got dressed up like Elijah the prophet, and she snuck outside with a big sheet on her. So when they opened the door, my wife sees this big sheet moving, like a movement. She thought something happened here. And it was my daughter made a game, you know, played a game as if she was Eliyahu HaNavi. So I was hoping it would be Eliyahu HaNavi, but he didn't yet show up. So today we're discussing 3 important items. The first thing we're to discuss is the last 2 days of Passover. Second, we're going to discuss Yizkor. And third, we're going to discuss the last day, which is Acharon Shel Pesach. First, I just want to tell you a very important thing. As you know, the Torah says that the last 2 days of Pesach is much more higher and important than the first 2 days. And I'll explain to you very practically why it's even more than the first 2 days. Even though traditionally, we see that people really put more emphasis on the first 2 days, but in the Torah, the last 2 days is a much higher level than the first 2 days. Why? When the Jews left Egypt, which on the first day of Pesach, they still had one big problem. They still had the Egyptians there. It's just that the Egyptians told them to leave. But the nation still existed. The enemy was still there. And the Jews were actually on their journey going. And then after they left, what happened? The Egyptians decided to go after them again and bring them back. So the Jews are going and traveling. The Egyptians are now behind them. And they caught up to them at the 6 days later. And what happened? They were in a dilemma. In front of them is the sea, you know, the Red Sea. And back of them is the Egyptians. They're stuck now. They were just free for 4 or 5 days. And now they're back in the situation that they scream to God, what do we do? In front of us is the water and back of us is the army. We went out for just 5, 6 days and we're back in a worse situation that we were before we even left Egypt. Now the army wants to kill us. The water is in front of us. So we can't even run. Why did you take us out of Egypt, they said. We want to go back and at least we'll be slaves. At least we'll be alive. Here's a definite death that happened on the 6 days after. So Moshe says to God, what do I do? I told them they're coming out to be free, and now they're worse than they were before, 6 days after. So God says, tell the Jewish people, don't worry, continue going. Go into the water. And you'll see everything will be gone. Everything will work out. Guess what? No one wanted to be the first to jump into the water. Everyone said, you jump first. You go first. I'm not going first. You go in. There was one Jew. His name was Nachshon. They use him as a symbol. He said, okay, I'm going in the water. He walked into the water. And the water reached up to his nostrils. And then all of a sudden, the water splits. And the whole Jewish nation walked through the sea and went out on the other side. The Egyptian army followed them, went into the sea, but then the water came down and they were all gone in the sea. But the Jews didn't know that. The next morning, they saw all the dead bodies on the shore of the sea. So what happened? This happened on the seventh night of Pesach, which is tomorrow night, is when the Jews actually walk through the Red Sea. It took them a whole night. The sea was split into 12 passages. Every tribe walked through a different passage, and they came through to the other side. In the morning, Moshe picked up his hand, and the water went back down and covered the whole Egyptian army. And the following, a few minutes later, the water spit out all the bodies, and they saw the dead there, and they knew Egypt is gone. So really, till this seventh day, they weren't really free. Because not only weren't free, they were in a worse situation than they were when they were slaves in Egypt. Because the Egyptians still pursued them, and they were stuck between the water and the army. When was the final ending that they knew that they're not going to deal with Egypt ever again? Was the tomorrow night into Wednesday morning, Tuesday night into Wednesday, the seventh of Pesach. So the sea split, and then all the Egyptians finished. So you know you finish with the negative. The negative is gone. There's no way they could ever come back because it's gone. So therefore, the completion of the entire Exodus didn't happen till the seventh day, which is the seventh day of Pesach. Any out of Israel, we do it 2 days, but the completion of gone, that Egypt is gone, that happens on the seventh night on the and the following morning. And then the Jews sang together, Oz Yashir, which they sang together, thanking God for the big miracle splitting, the sea, which we know was one of the greatest miracles that ever happened. And here is where I want to bring out a very important point. We always speak about matzah and chametz representing our spiritual being. Chametz represents our ego, anger, arrogance. That's chametz. What is matzah? Humility. Humble, you're flat like a matzah. Matzah has nothing to it, just flour and water, and it's humble. But till the seventh night and the seventh day, we're still dealing with our challenges. You know, it's like, give an example. Someone is easy to get angry, and for 4 days he doesn't get angry. But how are you guaranteed he's never going to get angry again? How? He got rid of the chametz, he's not going to get. For 4 days, he wasn't angry. He didn't eat any chametz. He wasn't. How do we guarantee that he'll never be angry again? The Torah says there's only one way. If you have a situation that is able to get you angry and you didn't get angry, means you already changed that nature. So when is a good test to know, did I really get rid of my chametz that's in me? Is if the same situation comes up again, and you're not angry anymore. Then you know you really got rid of that anger and that ego. The same thing with the Jews. Till the seventh day, they weren't yet sure that Egypt is gone. Maybe we're still dealing with it. This is what happens on the seventh night and the tomorrow night and Wednesday, is that this, we finish with our whole ego and whole character. We know we're gone. We're never going to get angry again. We're never going to have any ego and nothing. It's gone forever. That when Pesach ends and we eat chametz and all that, it's not going to get us falling we're still going to be free and make the right choices. So really, the last 2 days is infinitely higher. I just want to end with this piece with an interesting thing that people don't know. When the Jews went through the Red Sea, they didn't go from one through to the other side. They made like a U. It's like you make a U-turn. They didn't go from east to west or from south to north. They went in, made a U, and came out from the same place they went in. And the Egyptians followed, made the U-turn, but they got stuck because the water went right. So when the last Jew left, the Egyptians were covered with the water. So now the question is, if they didn't really go through the water, they just came right back out, means that they had a way to get to Mount Sinai, not going through the Red Sea. So why did God split it? It didn't get them anywhere. They came right back out the same place they came in. So why split the sea? And the answer that Arizal gives, and Chassidus speaks a lot about it, is that really the splitting of the sea was really a whole different concept. It was helping us and starting to form a new concept. It's like, I call it like merging two companies together. You have, let's say, a big company like Ichleis, let's take, what's a big company today? I don't know if there's anyone left, but let's take a big company that used to exist, Procter & Gamble. And you want to merge it with a little small Chinese company, you know, like Ichleis, you know, Yenta company. And you're merging a big company with a small company. Like, it doesn't really fit. Well, God needed to do something splitting the sea. Why? Because God wanted to change the history forever. And he said, listen, guys, from now on, I want you to take infinity, which is godliness, and bring it into the physical, limited world. How do I take infinite and fit it into finite? Well, the splitting of the sea was the first thing that God did, because when they split the sea, all the heavens opened up and all the children and all the people said, this is God. The Talmud says that even the maidservants, they had a lot of maids that went with them. They were pointing, hey, God is right there. We say it in the Az Yashir, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, Elekei Avi Armenu, this is God. Everyone saw God, so God was revealed. And then when they got the Torah 49 days later, that's where now every time you eat matzah, every time you do a mitzvah, you're bringing infinite God in a physical thing. But what was the first thing that broke open, that broke the ice, was splitting of the sea. So the splitting of the sea was God merging infinity with finite. An infinite God with a finite world. Infinite God with a finite being. That's what happened on the seventh night and splitting of the sea, which got them eventually 49 days later to get the Torah. So therefore, the last 2 days of Pesach is considered on a much higher level, because that's when the infinite becomes revealed with the finite. So therefore, it's considered in the Torah the days of the final redemption, because we're still not finished. As the famous expression is, Jews don't celebrate history, because history is in the past. What we do with our Pesach is we relive it as a current event. It's not something that happened. It's happening now. So when we read and relive the seventh day of Pesach, we are reliving this infinite level of godliness being revealed in a finite world. And therefore, it's the last 2 days is called, if you look in the Haftorah, which you're going to read to yourself, you'll see all about the lamb is going to live with the wolf. The lion is going to play with their little kids. The snakes are going to be friends with us. I mean, what is going on? This is what we read in the Haftorah, the last day of Pesach. Because that's the ultimate when the world will be, the infinite God will be revealed in this world, which this is what we're really waiting for, is that the world will be peaceful. The snakes, which is the enemies, will be friends. In the times of Egypt, we got rid of Egypt. They got drowned in the water. But when Mashiach comes, we're not going to drown the Egyptians. They're going to become our friends. The snakes are going to play with us. The snakes represents the nations that want to bite us. They're going to be our friends. So by Egypt, they had to get rid of the Egyptians. When Mashiach comes, we don't have to get rid of our enemies because our enemies are going to become the friends. They're going to help us. So therefore, the last 2 days is a whole different thing. Now I want to get to our second thing about Yizkor. The tradition of Yizkor started, I would say, in the late 1200s. To say Yizkor. It wasn't something, you know, long. It was 1200s or less. And the tradition is always to say Yizkor with a quorum of 10 Jews, with a Torah, with the Kaddish, the whole thing. Why do we say Yizkor? We say it 4 times a year. The last day of Pesach, the second day of Shavuos, last day is Shmini Atzeres, and Yom Kippur. The idea of Yizkor is by us saying Yizkor is not like a prayer. The Torah says a very strange thing, and this is what I want to share with you. That a person that passes away from the world, his life continues. It's not his life ends. It's not like he ended his life. The Torah considers it, his life continues in a different world. However, this is the trick here. Your life continues in what you accomplish during your lifetime. So imagine you're on a plane and you're picking up, you're lifting up and you're going 30,000 feet or 40,000 feet above, you know, above the surface of the earth. And then the pilot puts it on autopilot. You know, it goes on its own. The 120 years you're living in this world, all the mitzvahs you do, all the good deeds you do, is what's forming and what's making your future life in the world to come. Once 120 years hits and your soul leaves the body, you get to that life that you already accomplished through your good deeds and mitzvahs you did here. And now you're on autopilot. This is what you earned. This is what you're going to live through. Everyone has a different experience. There's no two souls that experience heaven the same. Just like in this world, there's no two people that think the same. There's no two people that have the same experience. There's no two people that have the same way of thinking, of doing. Everyone is different. The same thing in the world to come. Every soul has his path, its path that they paved while they were alive. And there's nothing they could do to get higher or go to a higher attitude, a higher altitude. There's nothing you could do. Whatever you did in this life, that's what's with you. But the only thing that could change the soul is if the children or the relatives or a friend does a mitzvah or says Kaddish for the soul. So what happens? When you do a mitzvah, you now give the soul a new level because that mitzvah that you did gets connected to this soul and now it could reach a higher level. By you as the child doing the mitzvah. Or by you as the child learning the Torah. So you could actually affect and make a difference in the soul's experience by your mitzvah, and that stays with them forever. That's why the Torah says, just like you have to honor your father and your mother when they're alive, you have to continue honoring them after. Why? Because the way you behave every day and the way you live as a child is has an effect on the soul, to the point that one of the reasons we say Yizkor on Yom Kippur is because the Torah says the day of judgment is not just for the living beings that are living here in this world. It's the day of judgment also for the souls. What's going to be with their for the year to come? So every time we do a mitzvah in memory of them, you're like giving them not just a gift, you're uplifting them. And now they're on a higher level. So now you have two options. You could say Kaddish or do a mitzvah. The Torah says if you have the choice of Kaddish or a mitzvah, the mitzvah is higher. Kaddish is like saying, is like sending a text message. Hello, daddy. Hello, mommy. I love you. And that gives them such pleasure. When you do a mitzvah, it's like giving them fuel and bringing them to a higher altitude, a higher level. So this year, unless Mashiach comes tonight or tomorrow, or if some miracle happens, you're going to say Yizkor at home. But here's the key. The Yizkor you say at home is the same Yizkor you would say in shul, but by pledging to do a mitzvah, giving tzedakah, any mitzvah you do, you'll see there it says tzedakah, by doing that, you are making the same effect of the soul going higher, just like you did it in shul even more, because you're doing a mitzvah, not just saying kaddish. Kaddish is a text message. A mitzvah is a whole new energy, a whole new level. So by saying Yizkor and mentioning your father or your mother or your loved one's name or whoever you want to say it for and saying, you know what, in memory of this neshama, I'm going to give tzedakah. There was once a story. There was a guy in heaven that they put him in H-E-L-L. You know what that stands for, H-E-L-L. He wasn't such a good Jew. And after being there for like many, many months, all of a sudden the angel comes and the angel says to him, come out, come out. We want to put you into heaven. He's so excited. He's going. But there was like a waiting room. He waits 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And then they say, I'm sorry, you're going back to H-E-L-L. He says, what happened? I thought you're taking me to heaven. He says, I'll tell you what happened. Your son came to shul and he decided he's doing a mitzvah for you. He's giving $3 million to charity. He wrote out the check and he gave it to the shul. So we took you out of, but we waited 3 days and then the check bounced. So now that it bounced, we have to put you back into, anyways, it was just a funny story. But the point here is, there was once a rabbi and a taxi driver. They were waiting to go into heaven. And the angel comes and takes the taxi driver right to heaven, you know, without any questions. The rabbi, he makes him wait a few months. So the rabbi says to the angel, why the taxi driver you put straight in heaven? And me, I have to wait. It's not right, you know. I'm a rabbi. I did so many good things. He says, I'll tell you the truth. The taxi driver, when he drove, everyone used to pray. The way, you know, he made everyone pray. There was no one that didn't pray while he was driving. You, when you gave your sermon, what did everyone do? Sleep. So this taxi driver has a lot of merit. He got thousands of people to pray. You got many people to sleep, so you have to wait a little. I hope you guys are not sleeping now. But anyway, the point I want to bring out seriously is that when we say Yizkor, we are actually, and we do a mitzvah, we pledge tzedakah, we do any mitzvah we decide to do, you are actually elevating your soul of your father or your mother and bringing it to a higher level, that this is the biggest gift you can give them. And here I want to bring out about lighting the candle. Usually we light a candle, a 25-hour candle for the neshama. But here is the interesting thing. What we do is, why do we light a candle? Because the Torah says a soul of a person is like a flame of God. Kiner Hashem Nishmas Adam. If you look at a flame always wants to go up. A flame is always yearning to go up. Where is it going? Where does it want to go? And the Torah says a very strange thing. There's four elements the world was created with: fire, air, water, and earth. The earth is the lowest, water is above, air is above, and fire energy is the highest. So when you light a fire, which is the candle, the fire wants to go up and connect to its source, which is energy, which is right beneath the solar moon, solar system. So it wants to connect there. The same thing when we light a candle. Why are we lighting a candle? We're lighting a candle because you're the soul that we're lighting for. We want him, the soul, to be able to connect to a higher level. So by us lighting the candles, years ago they didn't have electricity. What did they do? They lit the candle and they brought it to shul. And what did happen? The shul had more light. So since you added light to the shul, so it did a mitzvah, so it brought light to the soul, that the soul went higher to Gan Eden. Today we light it in even our houses, because the soul and the candle represent the same thing. Just like the fire wants to go up, the soul wants to go up. But when could you light this candle? So the best thing to light it is tomorrow evening. I know it's not yet Yizkor, because Yizkor is a Thursday. If you could get a candle that light it on tomorrow evening before your wife lights or you light the Shabbos candles, the holiday candles, that'll be the best. Why? I'll tell you why. There's two opinions about lighting a fire on Yontif. You could only light a fire on Yontif if it's for food and bodily needs, like to cook, to have hot water, to cook food, you know, those kind of things. So when you light the candle, you light the Yortzeit candle, what is it for? For the soul. So to light it on the Yontif is a question if it's you're allowed to or not. But if you light it before Yontif and it stays, you light it in memory, that does the same thing. So the best would be if you could get a candle that lasts, if you want it to burn for 2 days, get a candle that lasts for 48 hours. But either way, if you can light it tomorrow night, will be the best before you light the candles. Because then there's no question. Then you know it's lit. I did it for the memory of my soul and the ones I love. And it's lit in the right way. And I don't have a question. Some people light it the second night after they light the candles after 8:15. But there's a question because it's not for food. It's not for bodily needs. It's all spiritual. And could you light candles for spiritual? It's a question. It doesn't give light. So therefore, we do it the night before. And then when you say Yizkor, you say it after the morning service. You say it to yourself and you say, God, you know I would love to go to shul. You know I never miss Yizkor in shul. You know that shul is always full for Yizkor. But this, I'm doing this mitzvah by staying home in order to save other people's lives. That's why I'm staying home. So other people could have a healthy life. So in that merit, I'm going to pledge tzedakah. I'm going to do more learning Torah. I'm going to do more mitzvahs. And may the neshama of this and this, and say the name and the mother's name or the father's name. It depends on the tradition. The Sfardim use the mother's name. So let's say your father's name is Yaakov ben Rochel. The Ashkenazim use the father, Yaakov ben Yitzchak, whatever it is. And you say the whole Yizkor the way you would say it in shul. You could even, according to Halacha, you could say the Kel Mole Rachamim, which is the memorial prayer that we usually say at the cemetery. You could say it privately in your house. And when it says Bavur, you say whatever you want to give to tzedakah or whatever you want to do for the mitzvah, you could say that also, no problem. And God will accept this even more because you're doing a mitzvah in that level. We're soon going to have questions. I just want to get to the final thing about the last day, which we spoke about before, the last day of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach. The last day of Pesach, which is on Thursday, towards the end of the day, like an hour and a half before the end of the Yom Tov, let's say around 6:30, 7, the Baal Shem Tov started this tradition 300 years ago that you wash, you eat some matzah, and you drink the wine, which I'll explain in a minute. But here's a strange thing. Not only Hasidim do it, but even the Vilna Gaon, which was the Gra of Vilna, which was not a Chassid, he did the same thing on the last hour and a half of Pesach, but he had a different reason. His reason was he didn't eat matzah a whole year. He only ate matzah on Pesach because he wanted to save the mitzvah of matzah just for Pesach, the Vilna Gaon. So what did he do? The last hour and a half, he wanted to have the last moment to do the mitzvah of eating matzah. So he washed and ate matzah. So he did it because this was his last time going to eat matzah and get the mitzvah of eating it for the rest of the year. The Baal Shem Tov established this custom and he called it Mashiach meal. What do you mean Mashiach meal? What does it mean Mashiach meal? Because the Torah says the end of every holiday and the end of everything is the alt is the culmination of everything becomes united and the energy becomes the fullest. As we say in Friday night service, Soif Masa B'machshav Tchila. The end of everything is the last bang. That's when all the energy of the whole holiday and the whole 6 days become concentrated into one last hour. So since the whole holiday is all about freedom, so we know that this is just the beginning. We're still not ultimately by our ultimate freedom. What's the ultimate freedom? The time of Mashiach. But till now, till the Baal Shem Tov, Mashiach was something we believed in. But he felt that if you make it into a meal and you wash and you eat matzah and you say Mashiach meal means you're bringing Mashiach in a physical form. It's not just an abstract idea. It becomes real. As you know, the Rebbe used to give every Sunday, he used to give dollars and blessings. So people asked, why do you have to give dollars and blessings? Just give a blessing without the dollar. And the Rebbe said an interesting thing. All the prophets that the Jews had, every time God gave them a prophecy, God always connected it to a physical thing. He used to tell the prophet, take a pot, cook some water and do this and this, and this means that I'm going to redeem them, whatever. Moshe, take a stick and hit the sea. Why did Moshe have to take a stick? God could split the sea without Moshe a stick. Moshe brought the plagues with a stick. Why? Just Moshe, God could do it because everything, in order to come down to this reality of this world, has to go through a physical form. So by us eating and washing and making hamotzi and eating matzah, now you're bringing it into a meal that the Mashiach is not just abstract, it's a real thing. Then we also drink the four cups of wine. What's the four cups of wine? The four cups of wine, because the Torah says the four cups of wine represents the four letters of God's name. It represents the four expressions of redemption. It represents the four children that the Jews are divided into four categories. It represents the four corners of the earth. As you know, when God created the world, the first letter of creation is Bet, Beis. A Bet has only three sides, east, south, and west. You ever see a Bet like this? The north side is open. When God created the world, he left the north opened. That's why the Torah says all negative comes from the north. Mitzafayin tipasach hara'ah. All negative comes from the north, the northeaster. It's a negative. Always north is cold. So what did God say? God says, I'll create the world three sides. I want you to complete the fourth side. So when you complete the fourth side, you now make the base becomes a mem. A closed mem, which is a complete four corner of four sides of the world, which is complete, which is the word Mashiach. Mem is for Mashiach. So by drinking the four cups of wine, we are completing the fourth part of the world by doing the Torah mitzvahs throughout the year. And through that, we have the actual redemption. We have the actual bringing it into reality. So it doesn't have to be four full cups. It can be four cups of each cup, 2 ounces, 2.5 ounces. You know, so how much is 2.5 ounces times four? 10 ounces is nishkefelach. But you could drink, when you drink it, it should be separated. It shouldn't be just four cups in a row. You drink one cup and you say, God, say a story to your family. Sit with your family. Tell them, listen, there's only 1 hour left to the holiday. Let's make this, what does Mashiach mean to you? Tell me what Pesach means to you. What does the quarantine mean to you? What are you thinking about the last 2 weeks? Did anything in your life change? Did any of your priorities change? Drink one cup. Then say a little prayer for Israel. Drink another cup. Then say something, another Dvar Torah, and pray for all the ill people. Drink a third cup. And then say, listen, God, we don't want to say any more Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim. We want this year to be our year. We're going from this Mashiach meal into Israel. So the idea of having a Mashiach meal is just to bring it into reality. And this was established by the Baal Shem Tov, and it went for generation to generation, all the way till now, to the point that many, many stories are told of people that by drinking the four cups of wine and eating the Mashiach meal, it actually brought them many, many parts of that healed the relatives and healed many, many people as in the past year. I just want to say an interesting thing about lighting the candles for tomorrow night and Wednesday night. This is the only holiday that you light the candles and you don't say Shechiyanu. So you're going to light Lahadlik Ner Shel Yom Tov tomorrow night and Wednesday night. You don't say Shechiyanu. You know why? Shechiyanu you only say on something that you have right now in your hand that gives you joy and happiness. So every new holiday gives us joy and gives us happiness. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, we say Shechiyanu. The last two nights is the nights that represent the finishing of the Exodus of Egypt and waiting for the ultimate redemption. That we don't have yet. We had the finishing of Egypt, we had, but the ultimate redemption we don't have. So we don't say Shechiyanu, not by candle lighting and not by Kiddush. So we say the regular Kiddush for the holiday, but we're not going to say Shechiyanu because we don't yet have that in a revealed way, the ultimate redemption. And therefore, the Torah says that the happiness of the last 2 days has to be infinitely more, because this is the days that we could live in a different reality, in a reality of bringing the actual redemption into tangibility. So what I'm going to do now, just for 1 minute, could you unmute it? If anyone has any questions, and then I'll conclude with just two nice stories about the last days of Pesach. So anyone that has any questions, please ask.
Rabbi, I have a question. So is the Mashiach meal on Thursday or Wednesday?
Thursday, hour and a half before the holiday ends. You know, like at 6:30, because the holiday ends at Thursday evening around 8:20 or so.
Why specifically an hour and a half?
It's not specifically, just the last hour or two from the holiday is when all the energy of the holiday becomes very, very intense. It's like, you know, it's like the last hour of Shabbos, you know, you eat Shalosh Shudas, you know, there's a very special, unique energy at the end. You could start it 2 hours before. Huh?
Is there any kind of Kiddush that we can make or just Hagafen?
When, by this Mashiach meal?
Yeah.
Just Hagafen. Any other questions about Yisko?
Rabbi, what was the name of that wine that doesn't have sugar and low alcohol?
Keser wine. Eminent dry. They have it in the stores.
No, I went there. They didn't have it.
Oh, eminent dry kesser. K-E-S-S-E-R.
Question about Havdalah.
Havdalah after the holiday?
Yeah, can I not ask that yet?
Yeah, you could ask.
So do we just say Borei Pri Hagafen and then Hamavdil? Is that it?
Chabad says also Hine.
Oh, we start with Hine and then the wine.
You don't say the candle and you don't say the besamim.
Do we say Layahudim?
Everything besides the candle and the spice.
Okay. Sarah, thank you.
Question. Do you Sarah? Light a candle for each relative or one for all?
Someone asked the question, do we light a Yisker candle for each relative or one for all? It's I know for two things I could tell you. For a father and a mother, people like to light for each one another candle. For other relatives, they like to light one for all. But for a father and mother, since it's a separate, you know, mitzvah that the Torah says you should honor your parents, you don't want to make one candle for both, so you do for each one another candle. Any other questions?
Rabbi Shane, is there a connection between the virus and the Mashiach?
Oh, that's what I was going to end off with. He wants to know if there's a connection between the virus, coronavirus, and Mashiach. So I'm going to give the answer now. You ready? Okay. Yeah. The coronavirus, what it did is, at least for me, and I see people around me, two major things that the world changed in a good way. You see, by Judaism, there was a very big emphasis in purity and cleanliness. There's a famous story of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. As you know, he was a great tzaddik. He once came to visit another tzaddik. And in those customs, they used to give, when you come to visit them, they gave you food. Like they gave you an apple. And the tzaddik took the apple and rolled it down the table to the previous Rebbe to catch, but the table wasn't clean. And the previous Rebbe was very particular in cleanliness, but he didn't want to embarrass the other tzaddik. So he said to him, to the tzaddik, he said, listen, I want to tell you something. I never ever took food from someone else. So I'm not going to take it, but thank you so much. But the Rebbe used to always say, cleanliness is the beginning of purity. Purity leads to holiness. And holiness leads to godliness, which leads to redemption. You can't be holy if you're not pure. You can't be pure if you're not clean physically and mentally and emotionally, but the physical cleanliness is very important. You can't say a blessing if it's not a clean place. You can't say God's, you can't think of God's name in not a clean place. This, the world today is focusing on cleanliness. You know, if I walk on the street, most people cross the street, they don't want to be near me because they're afraid I'm contagious. And I respect them. I tell them, just as long as you're 25 feet away from me, you're good. But they're afraid. Why? They want to be clean. They wash their hands 100 times. I want to tell you a little secret. When Mashiach comes, what does it say? God will take water, sprinkle it on the world, and bring cleanliness and purity. It says it in the Torah. V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahirim. I'm going to pour on you clean water and you're going to be pure. Today, the world, who is not into cleanliness? Who's not? Everyone wants to be clean and sterile and then clean. My father told me an interesting thing. My father does brisson. Today, he did a brisson in Lakewood, New Jersey. Oh, he traveled from Crown Heights to Lakewood. So I said to my father, what are you going to do? Are you going to put on a mask? Are you going to wear gloves? You know, how are you going to do it? My father said, what do you mean? the way I've been doing it for the last 45 years. I said, what do you mean? He says, I never ever do a bris without sterilizing all my equipment. My hands are washed constantly a few times with alcohol. My mouth I rinse with alcohol. Everything he did for 45 years. Nothing, he's keeping that whole thing. He doesn't touch anyone till after the bris because he doesn't want any. So cleanliness is very important. In the Talmud it says that without cleanliness, you can't have holiness. So where do we see the world today? Cleanliness is infinite. The second thing that I see, I see everyone is modest. Look how people dress, modest today, with masks on their face. You can't even see who they are. It's almost like the Muslim used to cover their face. Today, you don't. Everyone is modest. Their face is covered. Their hair is covered. Their clothing is like the modest of world. So I understand it's challenging and everything, but it's a challenge because it's a change. It's not a challenge because it's negative. The Rebbe promised us. I heard this from the Rebbe himself. A few years before the Rebbe passed away, he said, I promise you that this is the generation that is getting ready for the coming of Mashiach. This is it. And everything that happens in the world is just a step closer. So everyone is clean. Everyone is modest. Everyone is covered. No one looks nice anymore. Everyone looks disgusting. And it's beautiful. That's the beauty of the world today. And I mean it serious. I'm very serious about cleanliness. All over in Talmud, all over in Torah, cleanliness is the vehicle for purity and holiness. There's a famous thing in a kosher kitchen. In any kosher establishment that's under a good kosher supervision, if the place is not clean, they will take off the kosher supervision from the place. Because if it's not clean, it can't be kosher. Think about it. What is cleanliness? Yeah, because cleanliness is where purity and holiness comes. Any other question?
As we know, a lot of most of the rabbis throughout history have had a prediction of when Mashiach comes. What did the Lubavitch Rebbe say? This is prediction.
It can come any moment. It's on its way. It's the highest moment is now. And you and all of us can make it happen right away. One mitzvah, one good deed, one good thought could make it imminent. That's how the Rebbe lived. No dates. It could happen any minute, any moment. It just pops up. Any other questions before I end with the last two stories?
Yes, one other thing. So for the Mashiach meal, we have wine, we have matzah, we like candles. Is there anything else we should be eating or doing at the Mashiach meal that night?
You could eat anything you want, you know, anything else that you want to give, you know, fish, whatever you want. And I would suggest strongly to say some prayers together, you know, with the family. Really pray for God to bring healing. Pray to God to get us out of this craziness. You know, let's do, this is the time to pray. I mean, this is the time. Let's sing together a song like Dayenu, V'hi Sha'amda, all the songs that we know from Pesach. This is the last hour. Let's sing some songs. Let's do parts, you know, get that feeling together and go from there. And the main thing is that when you finish Pesach, you're walking out with something tangible, a new mitzvah, or something good that you're going to do to change. Anything else before we go?
Yes, me and my friend, we say Tehillim every Monday for sick people. And lately we started saying Ketoret Hasamim, twice in the morning.
For the plagues.
For the plagues. Should we say in the evening too?
You only say it during the day.
Only during the day?
You could say it twice in the morning and the afternoon, but only during the day.
Okay.
Yeah. How do we know when the Messiah is here?
How do we know if you know how you're going to know?
Yes.
I'll tell you, just the answer to the question is very simple. If me and you don't know he's here, you know he's not here.
Okay.
I'm very serious. I don't mean this is a very serious answer. You know, Mashiach is going to be something that you and me are going to know this is it. You're going to see that all of a sudden, there's no way you're going to make a mistake here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let me finish with the last two stories, and then we'll conclude. This is a story, I heard it a few times, but it has a message very strong about the idea of Elijah the prophet and Mashiach. The Baal Shem Tov had a student that used to nag him every few days. Please, can you do me a favor, the Baal Shem Tov? I want to see Eliyahu Hanavi. I want to see him. And the Baal Shem Tov always used to push him off. He says, one day. Finally, one day, the Baal Shem Tov says, you know what? You've been nagging me so much. I'll tell you what to do. Go to this and this city. He told him which city to go. Go to this and this home. He told him which home to go. But when you go, I want you to bring a lot of food with you. You know, wine, matzah, just fill up your whole wagon with a lot of food and go. So the guy was so happy. Oh, he's going to meet Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet. He's going to see him. He traveled to the city. He came to this guy's house. He had to find out where this guy lives. He came to the house and he sees there's a father, there's a mother, there's like 8 children. And he comes in. All the children are there, and he brings all the food in, and they celebrate, you know, Pesach together. And he's there for like a whole week, and he doesn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. He comes back home, and he goes to the Baal Shem Tov. He says, Baal Shem Tov, you promised me that I'm going to see Eliyahu HaNavi. You told me to travel all the way to this city. I spend the whole Pesach there. I didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know what you're talking about. You're trying, what's going on? So the Baal Shem Tov says, you know what? Do me a favor. At Shavuos, which is a few weeks from now, when you travel, take along food again and go back to the same city and to the same house. This time, I guarantee you, you're going to see Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay? He was so excited. The Baal Shem Tov promised him. He goes and he travels and travels. He goes back to the city, to the same house. And as he's coming close to the house, he hears like the kids are like, you know, from outside, he hears the kids crying and saying, Mommy, Tati, we have no food. We have nothing to drink, nothing to eat. So the father and mother say, don't worry. You remember a few weeks ago, God sent us Elijah the prophet and brought us a lot of food and drink? Have faith. I'm sure Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu HaNavi, is going to come and bring us food again. He's walking in and he brings them food again. And they all scream, oh, Eliyahu HaNavi, here you are. We've been waiting. We have no food already for a few days. Thank God you came. So the guy realized what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to tell him. Is that each one of us could be that Eliyahu HaNavi. When we help someone and we say a good word to someone and we give food to people or we encourage people or we give faith to people or we inspire people or we heal people, whatever we do, you are the Eliyahu HaNavi. Because what is Eliyahu HaNavi going to do? The Torah says he's going to tell us the good news that Mashiach is here. You, all of us, we have that a little Eliyahu HaNavi in us, and our job is to go and try to be the Eliyahu HaNavi for someone else. Go and inspire someone. Go say a good word to someone, a good word to your spouse, a good word to your children. Do something positive to someone else. You'll see you're going to be their angel. You're going to be the angel that saved them. That's what it is all about. The last thing I just want to end off with an interesting story. This happened with the Rebbe about Mashiach. a great rabbi. I forgot his name, but it was by a public gathering. And he comes to the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, Rebbe, you speak so much about Mashiach. You speak so much about Mashiach. You know, we all believe in Mashiach. What are you making a big thing of this? Mashiach has been part of the 13 fundamental principles of Judaism since the beginning of Jewish creations, 3,000 years already. So the Rebbe says, I know, but you know, there's a famous expression that a thief, a ganav, before he goes to rob the bank, what does a Jewish ganav do? A Jewish thief, before he robs the bank, what does he do? He comes to shul. He says, God, I'm going to rob the bank. Please, God, make sure I'm successful. Make sure they don't catch me. Make sure the alarm doesn't go on. God, help me out here. And I promise I'm going to give 20% of whatever I rob to tzedakah. So the Rebbe always asks, if he believes in God, why is he robbing? Why is he stealing? And he comes to shul to daven, to God, please God, help me steal. Come on, if you believe in God and you're talking to God, why would you think God wants you to steal? And the answer is, that's the difference between faith and feeling. We all have faith in God. We all have faith in Mashiach. But do we really feel it? Do we really live it? Does our bones feel it? No. So the Rebbe turns to this rabbi. He says, Rabbi, you really feel Mashiach is coming now? He says, yes. He says, so the Rebbe says to him like this, could you give me a loan of $100,000 and I'll pay you as soon as Mashiach comes? I'll pay you back when Mashiach comes. The rabbi looks at the Rebbe like this. Well, what happens if Mashiach comes? The Rebbe said, well, I thought you said you feel Mashiach is coming now. Well, if you feel Mashiach is coming now, where's that loan? If you feel, I'm going to pay you back in another minute. Mashiach's coming. The point here is that I'm telling you guys, the world, Mashiach is a reality. It's not a thinking. It's a real thing. And by us, we're getting so close to this. The world is pure now. The world is clean. The world is modest. We're getting there. And we're going through this change. And by us eating the Mashiach meal and washing and making it and saying good words to each other and praying together and using the last hour and a half and using it to the most, you're going to make it happen. By the time we come Thursday night and we want to run to the first slice of pizza, Mashiach says, pizza, I have falafel for you in Jerusalem with shawarma. What do you want pizza for? I give you shawarma, falafel. I give you everything. Okay. Seriously, Hashem should help. Now let's finish the last 2 days with true hope and true praise in God. And I'm telling you guys, this is it. We have so much energy in the last 2 days. Let's make our personal Mashiach. Let's be the Mashiach for other people. Let's be the Elijah, the prophet for other people. Let's do things and make the world the way it is, a better place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Conclude.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Wait, one, two things. I just want to say the Shema and count the Omer.
Right. Okay.
Because we count every night the Omer. I just don't want you to forget. So let's just say the first paragraph of Shema, and then we'll do the counting of the Omer together. And then we'll all wish together to each other a miraculous Yontif and miraculous redemption to all. So everyone together. Shema. Adonai. Okay, we're gonna do just the counting of the Omer. I'm going to honor, this is the first time I can honor a woman to be my chazan. I'm honoring my dubby to make the bracha. She'll count.
Oh, you learn that?
Yes.
You see, we can. This is also, we can have a service with everyone together. Hold on a second.
That's right.
Just repeat after Davi the date. Yesterday was the fourth day.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Sfirat Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hayom.
Hayom.
Chamisha.
Chamisha.
Yamim.
Yamim.
La'omer.
La'omer.
Today.
Today.
Is five.
It's 5 days.
5 days of the Omer.
Of the Omer.
Okay. I'm gonna wish first everyone, and then all of you could wish all of us. I just want to wish you all a happy and a healthy Pesach, and may God bring all of us and the whole world only miracles and good in a revealed way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi.
Be well.
Thank
you. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank
you. Rabbi, do you have time for one question?
Yeah.
No more.
1 minute.
No more questions.
Yeah, go.
So we know that Eliyahu Navi is going to come to the world and tell us the Mashiach is here, but does Mashiach know he's Mashiach, or does Eliyahu Navi also reveal that to him too?
Mashiach doesn't know he's Mashiach till the moment comes.
Wow.
He doesn't know till the moment comes. The Rebbe said it many times.
What is that?
Mashiach himself doesn't know till the moment comes.
So what does that mean as far as Mashiach's preparations for himself?
You keep doing the mitzvahs, Torah, get everyone to do mitzvahs and Torah. That's it we have to focus on. Don't worry about Mashiach. You just worry about good mitzvahs and learning Torah. Nothing more. Mashiach Hashem has to worry about.
Amen. All right, Rabbi, thank you so much. Beautiful chizik.
Okay, well, good yontif, everyone. Good yontif. Thank you so much, everyone. I love
thank
you.
Thank you, Rabbi Shane.
Thank you, Rabbi.
So much. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Zeigazon.